Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armaline.
So Lord, we just thank you. We just take a second. Lord, so much has happened already today. And Lord, I just felt like when we were in the baptismal tank and people were coming in and kids, that you had this super smile and joy. Because I think as parents and fathers that we could smile, moms, that we could be so joyful. How much more in heaven are you rejoicing? And so, Lord, we just thank you for that opportunity. Lord, we just ask that you bless the rest of the service as I share. We launch into a new series. Lord, we just ask that, Father God, that you would be present. That you would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Where's Julie? Is Julie Welchip? Is she here? So I just got to brag on Julie for a minute. She's like, uh-oh. We were at Julie's the other day, about a week ago. And we are really big into declarations. You know, if you don't know, at our church, we are big into declarations. And we're just fellowshipping. And all of a sudden, I look over and I see Julie. She's looking in the mirror. And she goes, "You go, girl. Aren't you beautiful?" And I'm looking, I'm going, Julie is taking declarations to a whole nother level. Little did I know at that moment what I didn't see. I only saw Julie literally looking into a mirror, but she wasn't. She was looking to the side, and out walks my daughter, who is dating their son, going on their 1-year anniversary of dating, and she's all dressed up, and she was going, "Aren't you beautiful? Look at you, girl." But all I saw is her looking in a mirror going, "Wow, like this girl is a declaration girl." So I laughed for quite some time, because that's how you do declarations at Antioch, so... she is willing to write declarations for you for a small fee, so. It was so awesome. I literally was crying laughing because I thought for sure that's what she was doing. Well, we are launching into a new series called Foundations, and you can go ahead and put that graphic up. You know, really, honestly, that declarations, I'm not speaking on that today, but if you don't speak over yourself and if you don't speak over your kids, that's a foundation in life. Well, that dropped, you know. You know what? Here's the reality. We all speak actually over things. They're just not always the things that we should be speaking. I do it, you know. Sometimes I don't speak the right thing over my kids, and I have to learn to speak the right thing, even though it looks opposite. Aren't you thankful that you have words and you know what God wants to do in their life, that you could speak the truth, right? So that's a foundation. So we're doing this series called Foundations. And while I'm speaking, you can turn to Matthew 7. Very, very well-known scripture. But we'll go back to this video or this slide in a second. But if you could put up the first picture I sent you guys. You know, foundations, as we know, are such a huge and important part of anything. You know, you have a foundation that's off on a house. How many know you're in trouble? How many have ever discovered a cracked foundation in your own house? You know, something happens, they put back the dirt after they've done the, should we have ushers watching Ryan? He's taking both baskets out. Dave, are you the getaway car? you know, we were doing renovations a long time ago in my parents' house, and we found a huge crack, you know, and it just happened that if you push the dirt back before things are fully settled, or if the ground settles, we're not in a place that has normally earthquakes, but all that can crack a foundation. And a cracked foundation can be really unstable. So this picture here, it's out in California, San Francisco. Go to the next one. That's hard to see, but if you could see the next one, see how small the people are? That is a building called the Salesforce Tower. Listen to this. The foundation that they're getting ready to pour, that's all rebar that you can see there. It's going to be 14 feet thick. They poured it straight. They broke a record. I don't know why they wanted to break a world record at the same time, but they did. They poured cement for 18 hours straight, 49 million pounds of concrete. Truck after truck. You talk about the administrative managing of all of that, but they poured... And so this was 2015, this picture. And so the next picture shows you, go ahead and put that up. That is the Salesforce Tower. Now you put that up to the tower in Dubai, that's like miniature. So I can't even imagine what the foundation structure must be like. You know, I can't remember the tower in Dubai. What is it? Sure, sounds good. There's another one being built now that's even gonna be taller than that one. But the foundation to these things are absolutely vital. You get the foundation wrong, everything's wrong. So it was interesting this morning when I was preparing again, I felt a real weightiness on this because it's one of those things that you could teach and preach and listen to and go on and do your life. But I feel like the Lord's saying, we got to get this right. We need to learn to get the foundations right in our life. So turn to Matthew 7. We know this, this scripture. I'm going to read it first out of the New Living Translation. This is Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Chapter 7, 24 to 27. And this is going to be one of the last things he says at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. So he basically calls people, he notices there's the multitudes, and he calls people to him, and he sits down, and he begins to teach. And at the end of it, he says, listen, all these things that I've just said, this is what it's like. And this is what he says after three chapters of preaching. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it collapses with a mighty crash. And if you look anywhere these days on social media, it seems like people are having mighty crashes, right? Businesses, people, banks, things are crashing. The message says it this way. It says, these words I speak to you are not an incidental addition to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. Okay, I'm gonna read that again, because I love the translation. It's saying, listen, this is not like the addition that you're putting on that's just an added little sunroom, right? Because don't we sometimes like to do that, right? We do our life plus, and we try to make it work, right? So we do our life plus maybe a little bit of devotions. We do our life and try to get a little bit of rest. We do our life and try to do a little declarations. But what this is saying, and it's so well put, he's like, no, this is not what I'm talking about. This is not an addition to your life. This is supposed to be the foundation of your life. Following me? These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed it like a house of cards. It's very well put. If you just try to add these things and just try to put them in a little bit here, a little bit there, it's not going to work. And eventually it's going to collapse. It's like a house of cards. I'm amazed with these towers and these foundations. That tower in Dubai, if you've ever seen it, that thing sways. Like, I can't even imagine being on the top floor all the time. You feel like you'd be on a ship. You'd have sailor's feet every time you got off the building. But they are so well built that they can take the sway and not collapse. And isn't that what our life is supposed to be like? Do you have a question or a statement or an amen? Really?
To counteract the sway.
I wouldn't want to see that pendulum. Why is that pendulum way over here today? But that's amazing. All these things to know that building can stand straight. How many want to be a building that stands straight, right? I think you were saying it last week when it says to stand tall, stand strong. When all else fails, stand. That's what our life needs to be. So I really, I'm actually going to teach today. I'm not going to continue on this. I'm just going to do one day on something that we did 2 years ago. I cannot believe this fall it'll be 2 years. But if you remember, I did a whole series on the rhythms of grace. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, do I want to go there? I really felt I needed to go there because I'm seeing the busyness of people. And it's interesting, when I did Rhythms of Grace, it was 2011, it was the fall, we were still in and out of lockdowns, and as I thought about it, I realized a lot of things were not still happening. Some cinemas were still closed, a lot of kids' sports were not happening, like all this stuff was just beginning to come back. So it's one thing to find a rhythm in that type of life. It's another thing to find a new rhythm, proper rhythm, when everything is full throttle. And how many know that when COVID was done, everything came back online and it was full throttle? Not only was it full throttle, we felt like we had some time to make up, right? And in some ways, if you had kids, you're trying to catch up in school, maybe trying to catch them up in sports if they like a sport. Like there was natural catch up. Some things opened up that you couldn't get before. So there's this onslaught of busyness, and yet I keep feeling the Lord for my life keep calling me back to Sabbath. Sabbath. So I did a lot of reading of my notes again. I just want to touch on that today. And I'm always amazed when I read my notes because I did a lot of study in that one book where two things were said. The one guy, he said, listen, he said, I could break all the commandments, all 10 of them, except for, he said, how did he say it? I could break all commandments and still keep my job. But he said, if I want to keep the Sabbath, I could get fired for that because if you keep the Sabbath, you just want to rest, and that doesn't always go in church life. He thought that, he actually almost got fired, the gentleman that wrote the book. The other gentleman that wrote a similar book, he preached on Sabbath for 3 weeks, and he almost got fired at his church for preaching it. I'm like, how do you get almost fired for preaching something that's 100% biblical? And what I want to show you, just in case you forgot, it is not law. Sabbath was introduced at the beginning of time. The very beginning of time. So turn your Bibles. We're going to look at one more scripture here. We're going to look at Matthew 11. Not one more, but one more before we get going. Matthew 11. This was the scripture that I used in that series. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I'm going to read out of the Message. So read along with me out of your own translation. If you're on your phones, you can probably find it, the Message translation. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Gosh, doesn't that make you come alive? I love that translation, and it makes me go, I want that. Anybody else? I want that. In a world where we're running around with our heads cut off, I want that. And I believe in a season like this, one of the things that we can easily do for our walk with God and for evangelism is model rest where people go, whatever you have, I want. Like, whatever that is, I want it. Because when you walk around in stores these days or anywhere you go, can you not feel the tension is like it's gonna bubble over on almost everyone? And when you meet somebody that doesn't carry that, you're like, whoa, what a breath of fresh air. I was at No Frills the other day, and the cashier, that she was the most pleasant cashier. I couldn't find something. She's like, well, come on with me. We'll go look for it. You know, left her till, and I'm like, this is amazing. She had rest on her. She found the card. We talked for a little bit. She cashed me out. I'm like, boy, it's pretty rare to find that these days. And yet all throughout the store, you see people and they're like scurrying. They're stressed. They're just overwhelmed. So even what she's doing, I don't know anything about this woman, but that little bit that she is giving will put rest on people. If nothing else, it'll go, oh, I gotta get back to a life like that. And as Christians, this is actually the life that we're supposed to live. So I am, again, determined to live in rest, But I want to encourage you, if you have fallen away from having a Sabbath, I want you to find it again. How many got into a rhythm of Sabbath when we did it? You're like, oh, I don't know if I want to raise my hand. Yes? How many tried and it was half and half? That's fair. How many know it's like really hard? How many don't have hands? You know, it's funny. Let's turn in our Bibles. We often go, Sabbath is old. Sabbath is law. Well, that's actually not true. It's interesting that the creator of the universe, turn to Genesis 2. The creator of the universe worked hard for 6 days. And it's interesting, on the seventh day, he's going to say, I rested. I rested on the seventh. So I'm asking myself, if the rhythm before the law was 6 days of work and a day of rest, boy, do I actually think I'm wiser than God? Do you actually think you're wiser than that? Isn't that the question we have to ask? Because if we think we don't need rest, our bodies, in our DNA, and they've actually tried at different times in our history to create a clock that is not a 7 day week. They've actually tried to create clocks that are 10 day work days. Work for 9, try to rest on 1. You know what happened? Suicide rate increased. Anxiousness went through the roof. Like, all these things happen. So I always argue, is it not possible that in our DNA is the built-in need for rest that we fight against? I know, I could ruffle feathers doing all this. There is something, we have a rabbit. I'm not sure why. Aaron loves our rabbit. So we have a rabbit, it's inside the house. I know, Hannah, you love your rabbit too. Thank you for being friends with Aaron, and yes. Every spring and fall, our rabbit, who doesn't go outside and doesn't suntan, it's not in front of the wind, every year, like, our temperature in our house pretty much stays the same, but this thing sheds twice a year, no matter what. A lot. Balls of hair. It's not that the rabbit's outside and is really hot now that needs to get rid of some fur. I don't know what it is, other than in the DNA of a rabbit is this clock that says twice a year I shed. In the spring, I shed my winter coat. In the fall, I get rid of my summer coat and get ready for my winter coat. I don't understand how that is, but it's in a rabbit's DNA. So is it possible, I keep going back to, in our DNA is the need for a day of Sabbath so we can rest to get ready. Got a few yeps, thank you. Turn to Genesis 2, chapter 2. Actually, we're going to start at chapter 1. This, to me, is such an incredible, important point. Let me ask you a question leading into this. How many want to be creative, life-giving, creative idea, new thing birthing people? How many just would love to be those type of people? Wouldn't you? That was really poorly worded, but you get my idea. In Genesis 1, we have this incredible thing. We're not going to go through the whole thing. But Genesis 1, chapter 1, we begin this creation story where God's going to talk about in the beginning, right? Day 1, day 2, day 3. I really want to point something out, okay? So let's start chapter 1, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded, to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and he blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply in the waters of the sea. Let the birds multiply on the earth. So in the evening and the morning were the fifth day. But then he goes on the fifth day also, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and the beasts of the earth. Let each according to its kind. And so it was. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. What is my point? On the fifth day, he made things to reproduce. He made birds and all that. And he made animals. And he said, it is good. And he blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply. Bless them. Now, we go to the next day, sixth day. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that moves on the earth. Every day, God would say, it is good. It is good. But when he made animals to reproduce, he said, I bless you. When he made man to reproduce, he says, I bless you. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which we had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. I find it absolutely fascinating that he's like, this day's good, this day's good, this day's good. But when he creates something to multiply, to give birth to have life, he blesses it. He blesses the mammals. Then he blesses male and female who can birth and give life. He blesses it. Then I think it's fascinating, on a day of rest, he blesses it. Is it possible that on the day of rest, it is the blessing of God that gives us the ability to recover, rejuvenate, be creative, replenish, and come alive? Because that's why he blessed it. How many have ever come back from something like a vacation and you are just at rest? And you like feel like you have the energy to go again and to create and to be full of life. Have you ever experienced that? I believe with all my heart, this is a rhythm that God has put into us, not for vacation. Vacation to me is like the cherry on top. It's actually something that every week the Jewish people understood, and they began to go, I am going to rest this day. Now, what happened was, and this is why it's so hard and people get fired for preaching on the Sabbath, is the law came in. And the law took something that we're going to look at in a second that God calls a gift and began to put all these heavy burdens on it, where they could only walk so far, they could only do so much, and it became a negative instead of a positive. Well, now we are in the, what? New covenant with a completely redeemed thing. And a lot of times where people are like, well, I'm just going to cast off. I'm in a new covenant. And it's like, no, that was actually, that was pre-covenant that rest was introduced into the world. You can't throw it away, right? It's like throwing away day and night. You can't. It's part of creation. So I feel like God is calling a people back. Now listen, we don't have to do it. But why wouldn't we want to? To find a place of rest, to find a place with family. I think the greatest burden and calling on my life, if you read Isaiah 58, 12, it says, those from among you shall restore the old place, old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And I'm convinced and I'm hoping that as I teach and preach that a generation will go, you know what? We've lived this way and I see what it's producing. I can't do that anymore. I want to get back to the rhythm that God has created. Not in a religious way that I have to. No, it's not like, listen, I don't ever go, man, I can't work on Sunday. Oh my God, I so wish I could work. There have been times I'm like, I have to today. I don't really want to, but I have to. I actually have to go something right after I'm done this. I have to go do something at my house that's work. I don't feel guilty. I actually feel sad. I don't feel condemned. I don't even think it's a sin. I feel like I'm missing out. I'm like, ah. The day that I love to have, I love to get home after preaching and I love to go, this is my day. The phone goes away. This is my day to rest. We have Sometimes family dinners. Now that it's sunny, I sit on my hammock. I'll read. I just rest and detox. It's not religious. Following me. Somebody's following me. Turn with me to Exodus. You can start flipping there. Start going there. Exodus. It's coming. Did I put the... I'm just letting you slowly turn. Slowly turn. Exodus 16, verse 25, 29. So this is going back to Exodus. This is Moses. They have just left Egypt. Exodus 16, verse 25 and on. It says, Moses said, eat this food today. This is when the Sabbath was coming down. They introduced the Sabbath. Oh, sorry, manna was coming down. And he says, listen, this is the way it's going to work. Because I rested on the seventh day, I'm going to teach you to rest on the seventh day. So I'm going to have manna come. And every day when manna comes, you can only take enough for that day. It's basically like worry about today, because that's all you have to worry about. Don't worry about tomorrow, because manna's coming tomorrow. But on the sixth day, because they're like, well, you want us to rest, but we're not allowed to go collect manna. He's like, you know what? On this day, I'm going to let manna fall, and you're going to have the ability, although every other day it spoils, on the sixth day when you collect it, you can collect it for 2 days, and it will not spoil. That's pretty cool that God would do that, right? So he could be like, now you have an abundance. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. So on the sixth day, you just don't have to worry about tomorrow. It's all covered. So in verse 16, it says, Moses said, this is the New Living Translation. I love the way he puts it. Eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. You may gather the food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day. Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. Right? They're like, I need more. No food. Then the Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? Listen, they must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. Did you catch that? The Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why he gives you a 2-day supply in the sixth day, so there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out to pick up food on the seventh day. Let me just add to that. You don't have to turn to it. But in Mark 2, 27 to 28, Jesus says, because this is when they're walking through the fields on the Sabbath and they're just breaking off the heads of grain and they're eating it. And all the Pharisees and the Sadducees are like, you're breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus says this. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. I say all that because we often think, I have to do this for God for him to be happy. And he's like, no, you need to do this for you and honor me in it so you can find rest. Because we just looked at the fact that come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest for your souls. I will show you this rhythm where you work hard for 6 days. Like Krista said, you need money, get a job. It means that for 6 days, you go home or you go to work, you work, you come home, and sometimes you gotta work at home. Isn't that life, right? Go to work, come home, work. I'm trying to get any response from you today. It's just life. And he says, this is what it's going to look like. Some days you're going to work your tushy off from 8 in the morning, 7 in the morning until 8 at night. Maybe you'll have an hour of rest. But on the Sabbath, I'm going to gift you with a full day of rest if you choose to take it. And often, Jeremiah talks about, look at the pathway I've given you. Look at this laid out road, the old ancient way it's called. And it says that they looked at it and they refused to take it. And the Lord, I believe, was like, oh, I'm so grieved. So what I'm trying to remind you is a foundation stone that if you find yourself, and I get it, please understand, I understand our jobs are different today, that we have You know, some days, sometimes we have these cycles that don't fit. It's not the religious thing that I'm saying, like it has to be only on Sunday. And already we're kind of violating it because they used to do Saturday, Friday evening until Saturday evening. The point is, a day of rest that you can focus. Now it's interesting, the word Sabbath comes from Shabbat. The word Shabbat, when you look it up, it actually means to cease, to stop, one part of it, but the other part also means to delight. So it's literally this word that's packed with, hey, stop everything you're doing so you can delight in the Lord and each other. Stop everything you're doing so you can delight in the Lord and each other. And usually in the Jewish culture, it was followed with a feast. What more do we want? Rest and food. What's that?
And dancing.
She's throwing in another one. So Pascal's going to host and we're going to dance. But if you look at it, if you step back, and I'm just as guilty as you are at times, I start Monday exhausted because Sunday I chose not to rest. And I wonder why my anxiety level's already high, why I'm frustrated, and why I'm burnt out. And what I'm trying to learn to do in my rhythm of is going, literally, I told Krista, we were on vacation, I said, Krista, we've got to get back and we've got to up the level of rhythm. Meaning that on Saturday, we got to start thinking, what do we do Saturday to prepare for Sunday so we can all have rest? Because it doesn't work if the husband or wife is running around preparing all the food so the other five people can rest, right? How many know that's a cheap gift? But what if on Saturday we go, what do we do now? Like, what is our plan for tomorrow? Do we cook something now? And again, I'm not being religious about it. I'm just saying, in order to truly rest, what can we do today? Which means that, because we've also had a thing that we're like, we got to have fun. We got to have more fun. So I'm like, what can we do that I could go, you know, we could go to the beach as a family, sit on the beach and rest because work is done. And I'm celebrating this day. You following me? Let me read a few quotes. This is an awesome quote. I have come to believe the Sabbath cannot save your soul, but it very well may save your life. Isn't that powerful? It's not going to give you salvation, but it may keep you alive. One last thing, and I'm going to wrap it up. This is one thing that takes the religion right out of it. It says, all of this is another quote, means that humans need rest and sleep. The need for it was not a result of sin or disobedience. Because a lot of times we think we need rest because, you know, we look at the fall. Maybe this is an outcome of the fall of man, that we need rest. And it's like, no, sleep does not come after but before the fall. In fact, we see that the very first act of deep sleep is initiated by God, resulting in the creation of the woman. Have you ever thought about that? The first deep sleep the man went into, he created woman. So we're right back to the very fact that rest is a source of creation, is a source of life. And often we want all this life, but we're not willing to maybe rest. And I don't know about you, but when we went on vacation, my week before, 2 weeks before, was just insane crazy. I was trying to get all this stuff done. So my mind was going. It took me 3 days on vacation to literally settle my mind. Have you all experienced that at night when you go to sleep and your mind doesn't? And it's thinking about all the things that still did need to do, all that? My body was in that place. My mind was in that place. And I literally for 3 days had to just go, Lord, I got to get back into rest. Now, part of it was, what do you think I didn't do on those Sundays before for 2 weeks? Rest. I didn't rest. I got caught up in all that needed to be done. And maybe there was truth to that. I don't know. I can't go back and look. But all I know is I was nonstop and did not find rest. God wants us to live there. And so again, it's always an invitation. I love that about God. He's like, well, you don't have to do it. I wasn't here, but Claude was sharing about tithing a couple weeks ago. You know, it's like, if we really believe he broke curse, if you don't tithe, he's not going to smite you with a curse. If he broke the curse on the cross. But what it always is, you know how much the invitation for a blessing is what he shared when you tithe and give? How many have ever experienced the incredible blessing when you give? Like I often, people say, how could you tithe? And I'll say, how could I not? Because I have been so blessed over the years. I don't know how God did it. We had three kids. I walked around my backyard on my patio thinking, I have to buy a van and we're going to have diapers coming out of everywhere. We don't have enough money to buy diapers. You know, I can honestly say during that time, we not only bought diapers, we ended up having to buy baby formula, got a van, and still at some point had enough money to eat steak once or twice during that time. How did that happen? Because I don't think we got a, I don't know if we got a raise at that point either. It's like God always finds a way to provide when you are faithful and put him first. Amen? So I believe, again, I hope you don't find this condemning. It's like an invitation. Sometimes I'm like, why don't we want to do this? I'm like asking myself, Jay, why don't you want to do this? Because it's packed full of life. Why don't we want to do it as I wrap up? This is the last thing, and this is a little bit of a heavy. Do you know that we have two religions competing all the time in our life? You'd never call it a religion, and yet it is there all the time. Consumerism and materialism. Those two things knock at my door all the time. It has a new name called Pinterest. Right? Just when you've sat down, just when I've sat down, and I'm like, the job is done. And I hear her go on Pinterest again. I'm just joking. I was like waiting for a response. I'm just as guilty. I like Pinterest too. And it's funny, right? You're like, after this project, I'm going to sit down and rest. Oh, look at new idea. Right? I'm like, we need to do that. I am so guilty. I'm on vacation going, how can I build a swim out pool? And then I'm like, I can't build it, but it was a really great idea. But it's just by nature, we just want to create and build and more. And I sometimes long for, not that I necessarily want to go back, but I think of your parents or grandparents that, by golly, they had furniture that lasted not only their lifetime, but they would gift it to their kids, whether they wanted it or not. And it would last their lifetime. And then the grandkids, like, you guys gave us a table. We needed end tables. Remember the Spanish stuff? And we had a flood. And this stuff was in the water. It was the stuff that we wanted insurance to cover so we can get new stuff. By golly, that stuff would not break. It wouldn't swell. It, like, I should have kicked it or something, but I remember the guy going, oh, that's bad, that's bad. And it's all the cheap stuff, all the MDF and all that. And he looked at those, he's like, well, those seem fine. I'm like, no, they're not fine. Why? Because they were solid and they would last forever. I'm sure we did give them to somebody. And maybe they still have them, but I guarantee they're not broken. But we live in a consumer. You know what consumerism is? Consumerism is the belief that unless we buy constantly, our economy will collapse. So with that knowledge and materialism behind it as another religion, what happens is that advertising begins to go, you need more. Why? Because this is how we keep our society going. You need more. You need a new shirt. You need a new iPhone. You need a... And so what does that do? You step back. You need more money. Well, if you need more money because you need the new, then you have to work all the time. And we're all guilty, I'm sure. Have you ever said, when I get here, then I can rest. But it's the lie. Do you know the very first advertisement? Do you know the very first advertising campaign? Turn your Bibles to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 4, and I am going to wrap this up. I think I've said that before. And I will hear when I get home, Dad, you know how many times you said you're going to wrap it up? Genesis 3, verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, he will not surely die. For God knows, this is the eating of the fruit, right? For God knows, in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What is that? That's the very first advertising campaign. You need this. Don't you know that you need this? That this is gonna make your life better. Like, it's gonna take it to the next level. You will be happier than you ever have been happy before. Only to find out it puts you in debt for another 10 years. Chris and I used to always talk about a new house. Then you get wise enough to go, why do we need a new house? We still have bedrooms? It's actually designed the way we actually like it now. Why would we go and sell it? But there's this tug, more, bigger, better. I gotta read one more stat. I read this last time. You guys wouldn't remember because I didn't remember. And if you did remember, I want your memory. I do believe I copied and pasted it. The biggest industry, one of the biggest industries in the world right now. Because in Egypt, they actually had so much stuff, they had to build cities that were called supply cities. They were actually cities to hold their supplies. And this gentleman says, he says, listen, that spirit is alive and well today. We have our own supply cities. They're called storage units. And they are a $38 billion industry in the U.S. alone. $38 billion. Taking up 2.3 billion square feet. Enough for every single American to have over 7 square feet to themselves. Meaning you could practically house an entire nation in our storage units. Isn't that crazy? You know what that comes from? That first advertising campaign. You need more. And so I tie that all together because if the need is always that we need more, then we work more because we have to buy more. And if we work more, we're going to work more days because we can get more money. Therefore, rest is almost impossible. That's like last week I said, man, go home and begin to say, I thank the Lord for everything that I have here. Even if it's broken, is there a time to buy new things? Absolutely. But if it puts you out of rest, absolutely not. Right? And this is a foundation stone. It's like we all want to live in peace and rest. But if this foundation piece is not in place, we will never find that rest. Because I can tell you, I've known people that are super close to God and run around doing amazing things that still haven't found rest. Because even in thinking you have to do, you can actually be out of rest because it becomes a religious burden. And that's another topic for another day.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.